In February 2020, Bill Gates sat with infectious disease experts discussing a new virus emerging from China. Despite Wuhan's unprecedented lockdown, the experts confirmed his worst fears. COVID-19's airborne transmission meant containment was unlikely. When Gates asked why governments weren't acting more decisively, researcher Keith Klugman simply replied, "They should be." This moment crystallized what would become Gates' mission: to ensure humanity never faces such unpreparedness again. The COVID-19 pandemic wasn't a black swan event, but a predictable crisis we failed to prepare for. With international travel exploding from 25 million arrivals in 1950 to 1.4 billion in 2019, and urban expansion increasingly encroaching on wildlife habitats, pandemic risk has been rising for decades. Yet despite clear warnings from experts, most countries lacked coherent response plans, adequate testing infrastructure, or sufficient protective equipment. We were caught flat-footed by a threat that many scientists had long predicted would eventually arrive. What's most frustrating? Much of the suffering could have been prevented. Countries that acted quickly with extensive testing, isolation of positive cases, and strong border management saved thousands of lives. Meanwhile, those that delayed or downplayed the threat experienced devastating consequences. The pandemic revealed both our remarkable capacity for scientific innovation and our troubling inability to coordinate effective global responses to emerging threats. While government responses varied, countless individuals performed heroic work. Shilpa Shree AS in India conducted COVID tests for 5 months in a protective booth, sacrificing family contact. Sikandar Bisenjo trained over 150 young people to aid thousands of families through his Balochistan Youth Against Corona. Healthcare workers worldwide risked their lives, with over 115,000 dying by May 2021. The pandemic taught us crucial lessons. Viral variants will emerge, surges will happen, and breakthrough cases are inevitable. Changing guidance reflected the management of novel threats with imperfect data. Innovation requires years of scientific groundwork, funding, smart policies, and entrepreneurial drive. COVID would have been far worse without previous investments in mRNA and viral vector vaccine technologies. Despite developing safe vaccines in record time, distribution inequities left too few people in poor countries protected. While we excelled at scientific innovation, we failed at equitable implementation, a pattern that must be broken before the next pandemic. Just as Rome created the first permanent firefighting team after a devastating fire in 6 CE, we need a global pandemic equivalent. While fires remain local, diseases spread worldwide, requiring coordinated global response. The proposed GERM, Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization Team, would employ about 3,000 full-time experts across epidemiology, genetics, drug development, data systems, diplomacy, rapid response, and communications. Managed by the WHO for global credibility, this workforce would operate from national public health institutes worldwide. Unlike Hollywood portrayals, we currently lack a coordinated agency for swift pandemic response. GERM would monitor potential outbreaks, analyze data, coordinate modeling, advise on vaccines, and create common response protocols. Working diplomatically with local experts, the team would cost about $1 billion annually, less than 1/1000th of global defense spending, yet could save trillions in prevented pandemic costs. Effective disease surveillance means identifying potential catastrophes among routine illnesses before widespread transmission occurs. While wealthy countries record most vital statistics, many low- and middle-income nations rely on infrequent household surveys, producing delayed, imprecise data. Only 44% of African births are registered, compared to over 90% in Europe and America. This invisibility affects detection. By late 2021, only 1% of COVID infections in Africa were being detected versus 37% in Europe. Innovative approaches include Japan's postal workers conducting health monitoring, Vietnam's teachers reporting symptom clusters, and environmental surveillance like sewage testing. The Seattle flu study exemplifies transformative surveillance. Originally tracking influenza, it pivoted to COVID detection in early 2020, providing up to 25% of testing in King County. Preventing future pandemics requires detecting outbreaks within 7 days, beginning investigation within 1 day, and implementing control measures within another week. This demands expanded death investigations, innovative mass testing, increased genetic sequencing, and better computer modeling with improved data. When facing new pathogens, non-pharmaceutical interventions, NPIs, are our crucial early tools before treatments and vaccines become available. Ironically, effective NPIs often appear unnecessary. Cities implementing measures early experienced dramatically lower death rates. School closures became one of the most contentious pandemic measures. By April 2020, nearly 95% of schools worldwide had closed, revealing that remote education cannot adequately replace classroom learning for young children. With vaccines, testing, masks, distancing, and improved ventilation, extended closures should be avoidable in future outbreaks. Masks proved highly effective and economical. Their use dates back to 1910, when physician Wu Lianta deployed them during a pneumonic plague outbreak in China with 100% fatality rates. Despite proven effectiveness, mask resistance in America has remained consistent from the 1918 flu pandemic through COVID-19. Japan's early masking adoption helped keep their excess deaths at just 70 per million by late 2021, compared to 3,200 per million in the U.S. In early COVID-19, the WHO battled an infodemic of false cures while effective treatments gradually emerged. By summer 2020, dexamethasone became the first significant breakthrough, reducing mortality in hospitalized patients by nearly a third and saving an estimated million lives by March 2021. Later, Pfizer's Paxlovid proved even more effective. When administered early, it reduced severe illness or death risk by 90%. Medical oxygen was crucial, with about 15% of COVID patients requiring it. Yet only 15% of health facilities in developing countries had oxygen equipment, with just half functioning properly. In Kenya, Bernard Oleo's Huitale, Abundant Air, initiative cut oxygen prices by 50% and reached 35,000 patients. For future outbreaks, we need expanded libraries of drug compounds for rapid screening against new pathogens, prioritizing pan-family therapies effective against multiple viral threats with pandemic potential. The COVID experience offers a vital opportunity to build systems preventing future pandemics. We must act while memory remains fresh, as the next pandemic could affect different demographics, spread differently, or prove both deadlier and more infectious. Establishing the Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization Team requires years of development, funding from wealthy nations, and skilled staffing. While many organizations can provide input, GERM must operate through WHO as a global resource primarily funded by wealthy countries. Disease surveillance is finally receiving proper attention after years of neglect. Low and middle-income countries need stronger birth and death registries as a foundation, followed by expanded genomic sequencing and environmental monitoring. The goal is enabling every country to independently detect and respond to outbreaks. Climate change and pandemics represent humanity's most likely existential threats, but significant progress on both is possible within a decade. While climate solutions require massive investment, pandemic preparedness needs comparatively modest funding, yet can develop most necessary tools within 10 years. By investing billions now, we can prevent millions of deaths and trillions in economic damage. Not a question of whether we can afford to prepare, but whether we can afford not to.